So how do I respond to a Messianic Jewish rabbi who says that I'm anti-Semitic?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, do we have a lot to talk about today on The Line of Fire? And of course, it's Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. Welcome to the broadcast. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And if you have any question relating to any subject of our expertise here, Bible theology, Bible translation, church ministry, controversies, practical living issues, moral, cultural issues. We try to save Israel Jewish people questions for Thursdays. But anything else, anything we've talked about on the air, by all means, give us a call. And the earlier you call in, the better chance we have of getting to your question. Also, for those who haven't seen the news, there was a shooting today. A former employee of that worked at a company at Empire State Building came back in, killed his former boss, walked away, and construction workers identified him. Police chased him. There was gunfire between them. He was killed. 9 others were wounded, apparently not seriously, but obviously traumatizes a lot of people. And I have broadcast a few times from the Empire State Building while in New York City. And of course, as a New Yorker, these things are close to me. So we pray for grace on all those who were touched and affected by this today. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I'm going to do something totally and completely unusual. Totally and completely unusual. I've never done this, and I'm not looking forward to doing this. But I came back from India. I got sick in India, and I came back sick, and I'm still not 100%. The cough has been a little unusual, a couple other things. I've been somewhat fatigued, been working out, pushing through things, doing the shows, of course. But got blood tests back. And found out today that I had something a little bit unusual, not least bit concerned, and I'm sure I'll be done with it soon. It has about a month cycle, but can't be treated. If you can guess what it is that I was diagnosed with, the special offer that we made yesterday, which was for the Real Kosher Jesus hardcover book, and then with that free, the 2-hour DVD TV series on Isaiah 53, I'll send you that as a gift. So when you call in, if you want to take a stab at it, what it was that I was diagnosed with, hey, come on, got a live talk radio show, might as well do it like this. Then you can just pray for complete healing with me because I still have ministry and other things going on, and I'm not near 100% yet. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Hey, some neat news. And I'll be addressing this an hour from now when I speak to the greater Charlotte, North Carolina community. The local gay and lesbian community is going to be protesting outside of our church and responding to our so-called hate with love. So when all we've done for 8 years is walk in the love of God towards the gay, lesbian, bisexual community of Charlotte, reached out everywhere we know how and walked in the love of God, that gets called hate. But hey, we pray for these folks from our heart. We've had many times of fervent intercession for them, and we'll greet them as always with the love of God. So I want to especially welcome them an hour from now. Okay, I've got a stack of e-questions. Let me just do this one quickly from Joy. The first thing that struck me in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, was the second paragraph where I state that I came to faith. She said, I've heard that all my life in my Christian experiences as a Jew, did you have no faith prior to you coming to faith? Well, for me, I was really not a believer at all, even a general believer. I believed in God. But there's no real faith in my life. I've been attending a Jewish synagogue for about 7 years and see people with a great deal of faith, particularly the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Question is there a need for faith in something else? Is he not enough? The answer, Joy, is simple. Come to faith, number one, is a short form of saying, come to faith in Jesus the Messiah. But yes, a religious Jew absolutely needs to recognize when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob speaks and acts and reveals himself. If not, we'll miss out on redemption and salvation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Remember when you call in today, you can take a guess as to what illness I was diagnosed with. I'm not least bit concerned about it. When I was talking to a doctor today, he said, well, it is serious, but I feel confident that I'm mending, getting better, and maybe 10 days into it, what could be a life cycle of 30 days, but trusting God to reduce that and remove it. If you get it right, hey, we got to do something different. It's live talk radio. If you get it right, just get one guess. Okay, if you get it right, you get the package from yesterday that we specially offered. All right, one other thing, then I want to get your calls and a bunch of e-questions. I wrote an open letter to Mark Pawtuck, spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's been widely distributed. Townhall.com put it out in two parts. CharismaNews.com put it out. We put it on our blog and Voice of Revolution website. And I was basically lovingly challenging them to have public dialogue and interaction, and pointing out the absolute absurdity of some of their hate group listing and some of the absurdity of putting me on a list next to, say, the new Black Panther Party and things like that. And in the article, I said, look, I'm not in the least bit concerned about my safety, and I'm perfectly willing to follow the consequences of my faith. And I said, I have friends that have been tortured for their faith. Someone close to us was martyred. I said, that's not the issue. I'm just confronting them. And I even linked to a previous article where I said being on their list was a badge of honor. So some gay activists have gone after me now, and then this gets play in other sites, you know, one post and others. Well, Brown did this big turnaround. First, he said it's a badge of honor. Now he's complaining. It's a badge of honor to be maligned for the gospel. It's a badge of honor to be associated with people who are truly hateful and evil because of Jesus. It's a badge of honor. Correct. And at the same time, I'll lovingly confront and expose error. Where is the contradiction? For those that may be listening, no contradiction. That's why I linked the other thing in the article. And that's why I said, I'm not writing this out of personal concern. I'm writing this to confront the SPLC. That's probably part of the reason I got on their list of 30 new activist leaders of the radical right. Was because I've been confronting them for some time. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Silver Springs, Maryland. First, do you want to take a crack at the mystery illness?
Oh, negative. I'm on my way to the doctor's office. I got stitches to get taken out.
All right. Well, blessings on your procedure. Go ahead.
Listen, I got a dear friend of mine. It's a nice Jewish, wonderful Jewish friend of mine. I sneak him out and take him fishing to help de-stress him, but he married a Hindu woman, and beautiful little daughter, and she's now taken off back into her Hinduism and going to the temple, and he can't even go. You know, he tried to, you know, back and forth to go. I don't know why they compromised. They never really decided that could be an issue, but she's now deciding to take off in her Hindu faith, and her two little three-year-old daughters, and this is so-and-so God, blah, blah, blah. I didn't understand, but it's the stress. And how can I help my believing friend? He's a Jew, and I pray with him, and he's a completed Jew. And
as a follower of Jesus, he married a non-believer?
Yes.
Ah, well, I mean, that's obviously the big problem, which is why we don't do that. And of course, we need to be praying for mercy. And whatever it is, though, it is forbidden scripturally for a believer to marry a non-believer. And now, once you're saved, you may be married to a non-believer, and then you get saved along the way, then your goal is to win that person to the Lord. So first thing he needs to do is repent of marrying outside of the will of God. That's the first thing. He needs to start there. And then secondly, he needs to pray for God to deeply convict her of her sin and the emptiness and falseness of her religion. And then three, he needs to get so close to the Lord that she's drawn to the God that he serves. Hindus are spiritually minded people. They are seekers. The fact they worship these many gods is because they're spiritually minded people. So encourage him to put the pressure on himself, not on her, to not be castigating her or scolding her. You know, she's walking in ignorance, and to really go after God, to fight the battles in secret. Again, start with repenting for marrying a non-believer, and then God will clear that, and he's forgiven, then he has to move forward with the current situation. Two, pray for conviction on her life, that she comes to the end of herself and recognizes her need for the blood of Jesus. And three, that he really shines in the Lord, not in some pseudo way. When I say pressure on himself, I don't mean to work it up, but I mean take the pressure off her and say, okay, this is something for me to do as the head of this household to demonstrate who Jesus really is by a changed lifestyle. And then, of course, he's got to be 100% free to do what he does in terms of worship, in terms of studying the Word, in terms of going to the services he goes to. She can't restrict him from that. And be a friend and pray hard for him, Michael, all right?
Great. One quick question. Just two things. Have you ever heard of an old congregation called Beth Messiah? And do you know Dan Juster and Manny Brotman?
Well, of course, Manny Brotman's with the Lord now. Dan Juster is a citizen of Israel, spends half his time in Israel and then in the States. I was part of Beth Messiah from 87 to 93, worked with Dan and other fine, fine men of God there. It was one of the flagship congregations, Messianic congregations in America, and had some of the key leaders that are known all over Israel, around America, around the world now, Messianic ministry. We were all part of that at one time. Manny was a founder of that. Sid Roth was a founder of that. Dan Juster there right from the start. And I haven't been there for many, many years. And maybe there's some congregants listening right now can tell me how things are going. I haven't been there for quite a number of years, as I say. But sure, worked with these brothers. Manny was a great evangelist. Dan, great theologian. Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Sid Roth was one of my residents. I was a building engineer running the high-rise buildings, and I was a missionary maintenance man. I did affect people's lives. So God bless you. That's where
God
I
bless.
Met you, and I remember. Thank you for your time. Good day.
All right, sure thing. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's take some guesses on the mystery illness. Carrie in Woodbine, Maryland, what's your guess?
Dr. Brown, I think you have mono CMV.
All right, I'm glad I don't. Thank you for the call and the guess. But this is now going to feel a little bit interesting. Carol in Stephen, Virginia. All right. Don't have Carol there anymore. Linda in Boston. What's your guess?
Linda?
Yeah.
Salmonella.
No. Thank you for the guess, though, and I'm glad I don't have it. You know, I guess with each one, I can rejoice that I that I don't have it. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go back to the phones and your questions, this was an interesting one from Chalmers. I attend a Messianic congregation, and recently my rabbi told me that Dr. Brown is anti-Semitic. I got to keep this email. He said it was because I don't approve of how Messianic congregations do things, especially those like ours, which are very heavy into the use of Hebrew literature during the Torah portion of the service. I personally think it's ridiculous to say someone is anti-Semitic because of an intramural difference of viewpoint on a matter like that, and think that the use of the term for something like that is dangerous considering the true nature of anti-Semitism and the frightening meaning of the term. I found a few days ago I have Dr. Brown's book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, and read it over the weekend. I came to the conclusion that if Dr. Brown is anti-Semitic, that I am a duck-billed platypus. And Chalmers, I know you're not a duck-billed platypus because duck-billed platypi can't type. Of course, the book came out in 92. A person's views can change over time. Mine certainly have on some issues. I decided I would go to the source and ask, has Dr. Brown changed anything in the past 10 to 20 years in his views on Jews, anti-Semitism, Messianic Jewish congregations and practice? Any comments on my rabbi's statement to me? Naturally, I do not mention his name or congregation as I attend, so that would be inappropriate. Chalmers, if you're quoting him accurately, that's one of the most shocking, bizarre things I've ever heard in my life, honestly. And it's highly unfortunate, but I forgive him from the heart and attribute it to complete ignorance of reality here. Now, I'd be curious to know if he's actually Jewish. There are some Messianic leaders of congregations, even called rabbis, that are not Jewish. So I'd be curious to know if his mother and father are Jewish, just out of curiosity. But no, my views have deepened. Everything I wrote in Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I'd write the exact same book today, And in fact, it's really not out of date, even though it's 20 years old, because the issues remain the same. And my passionate love for my Jewish people remains the same, and my strong stand with Israel remains the same. And Messianic congregations have to find their own way and do what they feel God wants them to do. I'm a friend of the Messianic movement, not an enemy of the Messianic movement. I believe the New Testament model is more Holy Spirit-oriented and less liturgical. So the same way with churches, I'm not into a lot of liturgy, but I respect that it can be used. My concern is that a lot of the Jewish liturgy is written in the centuries following the time of Jesus, Yeshua, and does not reflect new covenant realities, does not reflect the fullness of redemption. That would be my issue. That's got nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. Come on. God help this dear brother.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. It's Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. By the way, 12 hours left. It's midnight Pacific Standard Time. 12 hours left to download my ebook free, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. We have given away now, in less than 3 days, 2,875 copies. Isn't that cool? So go to Amazon.com. You got less than, 12 hours, basically. Go to Amazon.com and just type in the Line of Fire and the number 70. It'll link you to the ebook, and you can get it for free, but this will end in less than, or right about 12 hours, okay? You say, I don't have a Kindle reader. Don't worry about it. Right under where it says to buy, to click to buy, free Kindle reading apps for your PC, for your Mac, for your smartphone, for your iPad, for your tablet. So take advantage. Clock's ticking. These are 70 of the best articles I've written on moral cultural issues. No, Joey, Pacific Standard Time. That's 3 in the morning our time. Got that, buddy? All right. He's giving me a countdown here. I've got a question for you. I was diagnosed with some illness when I've come back from India. Got results of the blood test today. It's a bit unusual, and we are seeing if you can guess what it is, and then I'm going to take some of your general questions. Okay, Arlene in Glendale, New York, what's your guess?
Yeah, hi. My guess is mononucleosis.
No, thank God I don't have mono. You're the second one to guess that. Whoever gets it right, by the way, is getting a free package, the Real Kosher Jesus hardcover and a DVD on Isaiah 53. Jonathan in Houston, Texas, what's your guess?
My guess is Giardia.
Okay, what is that? I don't have it, but what is it?
I don't know either, but I know everybody that goes to India gets it, kind of like Deli Belly.
Oh, diarrhea. Oh, okay. Some kind of, got it. No. Thankfully, it's my 19th trip, and I haven't had stomach problems in a while. And you don't need to get diagnosed with that if you do. Kevin in Nyack.
No, I'm sorry. I'm out. Everybody got my guesses.
All right. Sorry. All right. That's okay. That's all right. 866-34-TRUTH. Jerry. All right. We lost Jerry in Staten Island. Let's take a bona fide question, and then we'll come back. Steven in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I'd like to get something off my heart. First of all, I hope you get better real soon. I have just two comments that are important to make, I believe, and they're kind of sobering. There was a guest a while back, one of your very fine guests, and somebody had talked about the intermingling with the government, looking for it to solve your problems, the religious connection and everything else, and I agree with him. He says that's an anathema because most governments are pretty corrupt. Now, my experience, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'll get this across real fast. We've got a new war going on and all these things. Collateral damage, I don't know if people know what that is. That is non-combatants' deaths. There are 100,000, at least in the past 4 years or so, of this new thing going on. And these are the people that we're supposed to be liberating for democracy. That's one. Another, when I was recently in the hospital, VA hospital, late at night, about 2 a.m. in the morning, this nurse comes in, and we start talking, and she says, well, I was in Vietnam, et cetera, a nurse, and she showed me a picture, very sweet Hispanic girl, and now she's older. And
yeah, hey, Steve, had, just got to get you to get right to the point, because we're short on time.
I'm
sorry.
I will right now. I was talking to her, and then she told me that they were packing drugs in the chest of our dead to smuggle drugs into the country. And I said to her, you saw that? And she said, no, I did it. And after a pause, looking at my face, she said, I did it under orders. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Hey, let me say this. I have not the slightest clue about that statement, pro or con, zero. This much I know, there's corruption everywhere. Where there's money, where there's opportunity to make money, there's corruption everywhere. And would that surprise me? Nothing would surprise me, but I have zero information on that either way. 866-34-TRUTH. This is from Karen. A friend recently told me she's listening to John Hagee. I know very little about him, but it is my understanding that the money he raises for Israel goes to organizations that persecute messianic believers. What's the reality? John Hagee is doing a tremendous amount of good calling Christians to stand with Israel and exposing a lot of what's really happening in the Middle East and reminding believers of the importance of standing with Israel. Now, at his Nights to Honor Israel, they are non-evangelistic events. In other words, Jews gather, Israelis gather, different ones with Christians, and it's clear they're not evangelistic events, which I respect. You're not going to say to these Jewish people, hey, we want you to come, we're having to celebrate Israel night, and then lock the doors and say we're going to preach Jesus to you. Of course not. The challenge would be, and the negative would be, with all respect for what John Hagee's meeting, and I've had some face-to-face and over-the-phone dialogue with him about some issues, is that he does not stand in any way with Messianic Jews in Israel. And the funds that he does give go to legitimate Jewish works in Israel, not counter-missionary works, but they are Orthodox Jewish. So these, say, an Orthodox Jewish orphanage, well, should you care for Orthodox Jewish kids? Sure. But if you're Christian giving, better to give to Messianic Jewish organizations in the land, or better to give to Christians who are standing with Messianic Jewish organizations in the land. So he's not giving to counter-missionary organizations, but to Orthodox Jewish organizations that would therefore be hostile to the gospel, or would certainly raise people in orthodoxy, which would be anything but believing in Jesus, Yeshua. So better to give your money to other organizations. If you would like a list or some information, just write to us through the website, askdrbrown.org. All right, will you forgive me for being double-minded? I suggest today we were doing something one day only, and I sincerely meant that. A special offer, the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, which with postage is right around $30. Plus, free with that, the two-hour DVD of the series that Day of Discovery recorded for TV on the mysteries of Isaiah 53, with great scholars on there, Professor Walter Kaiser, Professor Daryl Bach, Professor Michael Rudelnik. I was part of this as well, the four of us, footage shot in Israel. And a wonderful resource. I was amazed when we offered it initially that people didn't go crazy getting it. Well, now you can get it free with the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. Someone wrote in and said, I'm reading the book. No, I'm absorbing it. Well, I said it was yesterday only, but we got such a good response. I thought, okay, looks like we hit a positive nerve. This is a blessing to the folks. Let's do it today again. But trust me, if you call in on Monday, it's not going to be available. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. You can order multiple copies if you like. They're great gifts to give out too. Wonderfully edifying for you as believers and wonderfully edifying as outreach gifts to Jewish people. So call today to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Jesus, Yeshua is Lord. Over every sickness, over every disease, over every attack from Satan, Jesus triumphs. And in him, we triumph too.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're doing an unusual giveaway, one that I hope not to do a lot of over the years, but I thought I'd do it today. I came back from India. I was sick in India, came back sick. Something just didn't feel right because I'd get a fever. Fever would break, and then it would come back a few hours later, body ache, fatigue. Something just didn't feel right. So I went into a clinic day after I got back, got some blood tests, and they tested for some different things than I would have thought to test for, and finally found out this morning that I tested for something unusual. And don't know if I picked it up in India or in the States right before leaving for India. It's supposed to stay with you 30 days. There's no treatment for it. I'm definitely getting stronger, but believing God for complete healing even within the 30 days. But if you can guess what the condition is, then you will get the special offer for yesterday and today. You'll get that free, the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. And with that, the Mysteries of Isaiah 53 DVD. Okay, a few more guesses, and then I'm going to get back to your e-questions and phone calls. Tyler in Houston, Texas, what's your guess?
I'm going to guess malaria.
Well, now that's an excellent, educated guess, Tyler, but it's not it. And if it was malaria, it would be a real miracle that I'm even on the air. But that's an educated guess because very easy to pick up malaria in India. Nate in Sterling. All right, we lost Nate. Maybe he was going to guess malaria. Vanessa in Queens. What's your guess?
Hello.
Hello.
My guess is whooping cough.
Whooping cough. All right, thank God. No whooping cough. Thank God. No malaria. So we've had mono twice. In terms of guesses, salmonella, diarrhea. I wouldn't have to go to the doctor and get a blood test to find out I had diarrhea. Malaria, whooping cough. Thank God. I don't have any of these things. Thank God. Boy, that's something to be thankful for. 866-34-TRUTH. Betsy in Beverly, Massachusetts, what's your guess?
Well, if this is not a guess, I know that you are the healed of the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. And a friend of mine came back from India with tuberculosis.
Okay, got it. I appreciate the way you said that. Rather than saying I have it, you said I'm healed, but reference your friend. Okay, that's not what I've been healed of either by faith. But thank you. Thank you for presenting it like that. She wants to emphasize the fact that in Jesus I have healing. All right, I'm going to take some more calls. This question from Ron. Please help me find a good sound teaching on the book of Genesis. It doesn't matter the length. I really feel I have to desire to study it. Thanks. Welcome back. Glad to read on Facebook. You're feeling better. Obviously not 100% yet. Okay. And I'll post on Facebook after the show what it was too for those that follow us there. Okay, Ron, when you say you don't care about the length, I remember getting the German commentary by Klaus Westermann on Genesis chapters 1 through 11, and it was something like 823 pages. So these commentaries can be lengthy. But you know a good, reliable commentary on Genesis by a top evangelical scholar? Get Bruce Waltke. I mean, there's so many I could recommend, but get Bruce Waltke, W-A-L-T-K-E. A-L-T-K-E, Bruce Waltke, Genesis, a commentator. He is highly respected as an Old Testament commentator and Old Testament scholar in general. So that's a great place to go. And then he'll have literature current up through around 2000, 2001. So that'll give you a good overview of things. To remember, friends, download free copy of In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, my most recent book, free on Amazon, but you only got 12 plus hours to do it, and then the offer expires, it won't be free. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. Go to Amazon.com now, download it while you have the opportunity.
Fire we please. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I misunderstood a caller. I thought he was saying something different in terms of what I may have come back from India with. He said Giardia, which my dear wife Nancy, with her medical background, immediately emailed me the information. It's an infection of the small intestine that is caused by the parasite Giardia intestinalis, also known as Giardia lamblia. Thankfully, it's not in my body. So we don't have a winner yet, but we're trusting God together for complete healing and restoration. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's take a few more guesses, and then I'll take another Bible-related call. James in Angleton, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah.
What's your guess?
Mild case of the West Nile virus.
Whoa! You have nailed it. You have nailed it. Now, it said that I tested, like, very positive for it, according to the levels. It was supposed to be, like, under 1.3, and I came back, like, 3.9. But thankfully, none of the severe symptoms, like numbness in the extremities, paralysis, severe headaches, none of that. But I told the guys I worked out with yesterday, hey, I pushed through more than you realized to keep up with our intensive workout. So thankfully, it could be serious, but it's not, and we're trusting that it will pass more quickly than the 30 days. Stay on the line, James, all right? And we will get you your package. So, Andrew, get the info. Everybody else holding to give a guess, sorry. Sounds a little strange to say we have a winner who guessed this correctly. But that's isn't that wild? I get on the phone with a gal today, and she says, yeah, just want to talk about the test. When I went to see the doctor, remember, I've been to India 19 times. I wanted to see the doctor on Saturday. Something just didn't feel right. And I said to Nancy, I'm just getting checked out. Something just doesn't feel right. Now, Nancy was right in saying, I don't think there's anything they can prescribe for you, which is true. With West Nile, you can't. And the same regimen, you know, just rest. And in our case, believe God, take care of yourself. But the doctor said, hey, I want to try different things. I want to try... She said, maybe got West Nile, I don't know a lot about it. It maybe this or maybe that. Actually joked with me a bit more than she should have, given the fact that it could have been something serious. And I get news back, everything else checks out fine, but strong positive test for West Nile. I said, is it possible it could be a false positive? She said, not unless there's human error. And then doctor today told me, yeah, just if you got it, you got it. And it could be serious, but thankfully it's not. And thankfully, we will pass through this. So I was brought to you. Now, check this out. Is this devotion to the cause or what? Broadcasting live from India in the middle of the night, fighting off West Nile virus, to be with you, our beloved listeners, on the Line of Fire Radio. Come on, I could make an appeal for support based on that, huh? 866-34-TRUTH. Jeff in Toronto, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me again, Dr. Brown.
You're very welcome.
Did you say you're in India?
Yeah, my 19th trip. I was there earlier this month and scheduled to go back again in December.
Oh, wow, excellent. I didn't know I was calling you in India.
No, I'm not there now.
Oh, you're not there now.
No, okay. I was joking about last week. I was broadcasting live from India, but I didn't know that I was fighting West Nile virus, so I was making it present tense as if I was to have a little fun with it. All clear, okay. Buddy. All right.
Okay, thank you. So first of all, I just wanted to say that the teachings you've had on your debate with James White, which I've listened to a few times, as well as the other one you did on Calvinism, Arminianism, where you present both sides, and your shows on Well, I'm Not a Calvinist have been extremely helpful for me just in my walk at this time. I can really identify with a lot of the stuff that you're saying, because I've been doing a study on the atonement and penal substitution, and all the theological work that I'm benefiting from and quoting and using, it finds like I'm totally surrounded by people who are like hardcore Calvinists. And I'm asking the question, like, if, you know, how come so many people who know the scriptures the best, who are like the most serious scholars, they know the original languages, why do they all hold to unconditional election if it's actually not scriptural? And I know you were saying in your video or in your audio that that was some of the stuff you dealt with as well. And the only main reason I would have to embrace it is basically because it's the majority position from my perspective right now. But
is there a specific question? Yeah.
Yeah, the main question I had was a teacher said that basically if when we present our doctrine of election, if you don't get charged with or accused of being unfair, that you don't have Paul's doctrine of election.
And yeah, it's a standard argument, the same way people say if when you preach on grace, people don't think they have the liberty to sin, then you're not really preaching grace because that's what they misunderstood Paul about. Well, Paul was misunderstood on lots of issues. When Paul would talk about liberty in Jesus, people would take it to mean that they could sin. We have the corrections in the New Testament. In other words, we have the corrections where Paul says, should we therefore continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He answers it there. Or is God being unfair? Absolutely not. Unfair in what? Unfair in choosing one person for service and not another. It's not choosing one person for salvation, but one person for service. That's what the text is dealing with in Romans 9. Here's the bigger question to ask. Why throughout Scripture, rather than announcing to people you are already unconditionally elected to blessing or to cursing, you are already unconditionally elected to obedience or disobedience, you are already unconditionally elected to eternal life or eternal damnation, rather than saying that, why does Scripture say choose, 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 choose? Why does God say he's grieved over the choices people make if he's the one who predestined them to go in that direction? Why does he say that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would repent? Why does Jesus weep over Jerusalem and say whether you say Jerusalem signifies the leaders of the nation or the nation as a whole? He said, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. And he weeps over it. Why does it say in Luke that the Pharisees rejected the will of God? So, in short, just think of what would happen if in your message to the lost, you preached unconditional election. There's nothing you can do to be saved. God has already predetermined it. If you are predestined to be saved, you will be. If you're predestined to be damned, you will be. There's nothing you can do about it. What would happen if people preach that? Why is there no such preaching? You say, yeah, but God elects. God has elected that there will be a people in Jesus. God has predestined and predetermined that he will have a family in his son Jesus. Whenever election to salvation is mentioned in Scripture like Ephesians 1, it's always corporate. So we need to stress that, and we need to say, hey, tell you what, you believe what you want about election, but let's reach out to the lost. Let's pray for the lost. Let's labor with burden. Let's live the way Paul lived. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Let us ask God to thrust forth laborers into the harvest. Let us know that the time is short to reach people because at best we have one generation, our own lives, to do the will of God. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to emphasize, though, my great respect for Dr. White, my camaraderie with James White, the fact that there are 1,001 things that we are in deep heart-life harmony on, and then areas we differ on within the faith. And there are many other Calvinists for whom I have great respect in the midst of our differences. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Craig, hang in there. I'll get your call right after the break. Donnie is confused. He's got a greater burden to share the gospel, but says, I'm finding it hard to articulate exactly what the gospel is when sharing with others. I know what he's done in me, what it means to serve Jesus, call him Lord, but I'm struggling to share what that means. Obviously, Donnie, sharing your testimony is always powerful. What you need to explain to people, through looking at their own lives, through looking at the sin of the human race, is that we're fallen and that we're going to be judged by God and we're all guilty and we can't pay for our sins. It's like you leave the restaurant and they tell you your bill is $12 billion. How many lifetimes you can't pay that off? Explain the person's sin, the nature of sin. And then how Jesus, the great sin bearer, takes all the sins. God sends his own son into the world to take all the sins of all the world on his own shoulders and to pay the penalty, to pay the price for our sins, that we, being dead to sin, lead a new life in Jesus. What they need to understand is their guilt before God, God's salvation provision through Jesus, and the fact that God offers a salvation which now means leading a new life in the Lord, not just being forgiven, but leading a brand new life following Jesus. And from there, you have the example of your own life, hopefully, to lead you deeper.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Just about 2,900 ebooks we've given away so far. We've got 12 hours to go. So if you've not yet downloaded your copy of In The Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, do it. Do it. Now, one thing, if you're going to be listening in the second hour, I'm going to be asking my listeners about the mystery disease question that was answered earlier. If you listen in the first hour, you can't call in the second hour because you heard the answer. This is for listeners in new cities. Sorry, gotta be fair. 866-34-TRUTH. Craig in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Sure thing.
I've got a heavy burden that's been laid upon me. I've got a 23-year-old son that was raised in the church, baptized, you know, was an acolyte, worked in the church, grew up in Boy Scouts and Eagle Scout, you know, just family prayer and everything at home. Went off to college, came back, and now tells me he's agnostic. And, I mean, I've never understood the concept of pray without ceasing until this time. It seems like it's just on the front of my forehead everywhere I go, whatever I do, and I can't seem to get any peace with it. And, you know, is he marked for God? I mean, is he lost?
First thing is, whatever his state is now, while there's breath, there's hope. And God is not going to ignore your prayers and the way he was raised in the Lord. Now, when you say he was baptized, was there a time in his life when he clearly professed faith in Jesus and showed evidence of really knowing the Lord?
Yes, when he was younger. But I asked him about that, and, you know, he's been through a confirmation and everything, and I said, well, you know, how could you go through all that and say the things you did and make the promises and vows you did? And he goes, oh, I just did that because you and Mom wanted me to.
Right. So it's questionable whether he's ever really known the Lord. And it's commendable, of course, that he wanted to do what you asked him to do, would honor you in doing that, of course. But you need to pray for him as someone who's lost right now and perhaps someone who's never really known the Lord. Perhaps he's rejecting the superficial knowledge of God he has or churchianity as he knows it. But God will respond to your prayers and God will convict him. He's still a human being. He still sins, he still has needs, and plenty of people go through what he does and then come back full circle. Would he read an interesting book if you got it for him?
He probably would. I mean, I talked to him the other day. You know, we just had a father and son talk, and it wasn't heated or anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't trade him for anything. I still love him because he's my son. But I said, you know, well, what would it take? And he says, well, seeing is believing for me. And I said, well, all I can do is pray that your eyes are open. And I don't understand that. I would think that he's had plenty of things in his life so far to see the miracles of God.
Well, you know what happens, though, Craig? Number one, many people think in the present tense. I have a need now. I pray, excuse me, and God didn't help me now. so I question his reality. Or they live in the present and forget the past. How many times has God done something for us and a year later we're dull to it? So maybe God did intervene in his life, but now he's questioning, oh, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord. Maybe it was just coincidence. Maybe it's completely robbed from him. What you need to do is just keep loving on him. Just be the best father you ever had. Try to build a deeper relationship than you've ever had with him. Forget the faith stuff. You just love on him. You be a dad if you've gone hunting or enjoyed times together or just sports, whatever. You just be the best dad you know how to be. Pray like crazy in secret. And then when you're around him, just be the best dad you know how to be. When you talk to him on the phone, just be there for him. Be a support because many times that relationship with the earthly dad helps with the relationship with the heavenly father. Let me just recommend this book to you. Can you jot this down?
Yes, sir.
It's called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And especially for college-age students, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And it's co-authored by Norm Geisler and Frank Turek. So if you just write down the last name, T-U-R-E-K, it's a book that sells well and is perennially relevant. It'll help
T-U-R-E-K.
You, too. Yeah, T-U-R-E-K. It's readily available in bookstores or online dealers. So I really encourage you to look at the book, but say, hey, check this out. And then just don't put him under any pressure. Just love on him. And what's his name?
His name is Jacob.
All right, let's agree in prayer for Jacob right now. Father, Jacob is one of millions of those raised in Christian homes who've lost faith in you at college campuses. God, how your heart must beat for them. I pray that you get hold of him. I pray you'd awaken him. I pray that he would see the utter bankruptcy and futility of sin. Jar him. May he see it in his friends' lives. May he see it in his own life. May he come to a point where conviction is intense and he knows he needs you. And when he cries out, you reveal yourself. Show yourself strong to him. Turn his heart so that he might truly believe and experience your goodness. And may Craig know as he cries out to you that his prayers are not in vain. We thank you in advance for the salvation and the calling on this young man in Jesus' name. Hey, thank you for sharing that with us and allowing us to be part of your prayer team. Okay, I'm going to be taking calls into the next hour, so stay with us, stay on the line. I've got a bunch of fascinating e-questions to get to for those who will be listening online or listening later by podcast. Remember, free download, less than 12 hours to go is it. Pacific Standard Time, midnight, it's over. Free download for In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars, best moral cultural articles. I've written 70 of them over the last 18 months. Why are we doing it? Well, we have the opportunity, special promotion with Amazon, and we're getting close to 3,000 ebooks given away, which means all these people, all of you can read these articles and be blessed and helped, and then recommend it to others, of course. All right. I said I was doing something just for yesterday, but we got such an overwhelming response. I'm being double-minded. Forgive me. We're going to do this again today. The Real Kosher Jesus hardcover version with postage, it's around $30. Get that, and for free, we'll give you the two-hour DVD where Professors Walter Kaiser, Michael Delnick, Daryl Bach, and myself, in very understandable language, have in-depth discussion about the mysteries of Isaiah 53. Two-hour DVD recorded by Day of Discovery TV program. You will be blessed, trust me. And it's a great offer. Get it for yourself. Get it for non-believing Jewish friends. But call right now. Trust me, this is it today. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Also, great time to become torchbearers, monthly supporters, standing with us as we stand together to make a difference in America as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the nations and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Together, friends, we are making a difference. My bottom line today, the conventions are coming, Republican, Democratic. There's going to be so much controversy in the air. How about praying more? How about not getting caught up in the controversy and spending more time in the presence of God and getting the mind and heart and will of God and demonstrating who Jesus is to a lost and dying world?
What's their answer to a famous Semitic scholar who claimed that the name Yahweh doesn't go back to Hebrew, but to Babylonian or Sumerian.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on this special broadcast. It's Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm delighted to be with you. Any Bible-related question, theology-related question, anything in my areas of expertise, anything that relates to anything, we cover it all on The Line of Fire. This is the day to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. We're going to be doing a special giveaway. I've got a question I'll be asking in the next segment, so we've got a special giveaway. But I have a special announcement for the gay and lesbian community and their straight allies in the greater Charlotte area. We are really excited to be welcoming you this Sunday. Here's a note notice in the local gay newspaper, Q Notes, or online. Make your signs and banners. Keep the love going as we peacefully protest Fire Church Sunday after Pride. During the Pride event, you'll have a chance to hear Flip Benham and other representatives of Fire Church throwing damnation our way. Let's show them that they cannot come into our community and intimidate us. We'll meet just before service begins and protest as they gather. We'll have a silent protest as service is going and let them have it as they leave for the day. Remember, we will be peaceful and respectful, something they don't understand. We are going to stand together as a community to show that our love is stronger than their hate. We are thrilled that you're coming. I don't understand the note here, though. All we've ever shown you is the love of God. We've reached out to you with public apologies for the failings of the church. We've handed out free bottles of water at gay pride events that say Jesus loves you on them. And you've never heard an angry word from any of us. Never. Ever. Hasn't happened. You say, oh, Flip Benham. Well, whatever issue you have with Flip Benham is not an issue with Fire. Flip's not part of Fire. Flip has his own church and ministry in the city, and Flip's a big boy and can answer for himself. So if you're coming here, Flip, you got the wrong church. However, we are thrilled that you're coming. And you know what you'll be greeted with? From our hearts, the love of God, an expression of the goodness of God, because the Jesus we serve died for heterosexual and homosexual. And the Jesus we serve does not discriminate in his love. He offers repentance to all. He offers transformation to all, to the core of our being. And that's why Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 6, all kinds of different people who live different ways, and including those who are in homosexual practice. It's part of the list, not singled out as the evil worst of them all. It's part of the list. And he said, such were some of you. Such were some of you. That's who you used to be, but you've been washed and sanctified, justified by the blood of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we are so thrilled that you're coming. It's really something very special for us that you would be there, whatever your motivation and whatever spirit in which you come. The only way we've ever treated you, anybody from Fire Church, anyone that's ever represented us, when we even had the former editor of Q Notes before he was the editor of Q Notes, we gave him an open mic to share his testimony at a public forum I did on Can You Be Gay and Christian. Had lunch with the last two editors of Q Notes, in fact, had meals together. All you'll get from us is respect and love and truth. We love you enough to tell you the truth, to say that God has a better way. But please, don't just come with two or three or four people. Let there be a good turnout so we can really demonstrate the love and goodness and kindness of God to you. And lift up Jesus, who came to die for every one of us, shed the same blood on the cross for heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transgender, however we identify, and provided for all of us a better way in him. So thank you for coming. We cannot wait to bless you in the name of Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Okay, so for all of my new listeners, when I mean new listeners, I mean those that are listening this hour, so you're in Atlanta, you're Charlotte, a different part of the country that just getting this hour of the broadcast, we are doing a free giveaway. It was the special. So if you heard the answer in the last hour, or if you happen to see it on Facebook in a few minutes, you can't call in, all right? You can call in for something else, but not for this. Are you ready? Free giveaway, the special package to which we got a tremendous response yesterday, the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, together with the two-hour DVD of The Mysteries of Isaiah 53, myself with three other biblical scholars discussing this. I, as you know, got sick in India and was fighting some illness and still not 100%, still not normal. I went into the doctor Saturday just to get a blood test, and it didn't get out till Monday. And then they called me last night. I missed the call. Found out this morning that I'm suffering from something unusual, and I'm trusting God for complete healing. It's got a life cycle of about 30 days. You can't treat it, but I'm getting better and trusting God for complete healing. What is the illness? All you have to do is call in and guess what the illness is. I may have picked it up in India. I may have gotten it before going to India, but I know I got hit with it in India. What illness have I been diagnosed with? All right, just having a little fun. And if you get it right, you get the free package, which is like $45 of material. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think it is? Take a stab. Can't hurt. 866-348-7884. First one to get it right gets the free package. Fair enough? Of course it's fair. It's free. All right, to the phones. Trevor in the Bronx, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Brown. I've been listening from the last hour, so I know that answer. I won't give it away.
Oh, good. So good for you. Good, honest man. And I knew you were on hold since the last hour anyway. So,
okay,
yes, sir.
Very good. Yes, and the last, the Last Supper, the night of the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Jesus said a curious thing to Peter. He said, mm-hmm. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when, this is an interesting thing, he said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. What would he mean when he said, when thou art converted? It sounds like when you become born again. But I know Peter was born again, you know, from under the old dispensation and even from the new Jesus, that he'd been born again. He was a saved person. But yet he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. I have insights into it, but I would like to,
Certainly it's that word converted, which in the Greek epistrepho just means to turn back, to return. So, for example, here I'll read a bunch of different translations. King James says converted. Complete Jewish Bible, once you've turned back in repentance. English Standard, when you have turned again. New American Standard, once you have turned again. NET, when you have turned back. NLT, so when you have repented. NIV, when you have turned back. So that's all it is. It's talking about he's going to go through a bad period of time, and when he turns back in repentance, then strengthen the brethren. In other words, you still have a mission. You're going to go through this. The devil wants to totally take you out. You're going to take a hit, but he's not going to totally take you out. And when you've turned back, not converted, when you've turned back, strengthen the brethren. So fair question, but that's a very simple answer, okay?
Yes. Here's my idea that I had. I was thinking that, knowing that Peter, you know, been born again, saved, and everything, I was thinking that converted means when you are strengthened after his trial and testing, when he's strengthened and when he puts off more of, when he puts on more of the new man and puts off more of the old man, you know, and he gets stronger, then he should strengthen his brethren and encourage his brethren. That's how I was looking at it. When you have matured more, and, you know, then strengthen your brethren. But I think your correction, your interpretation is better.
Yeah, all right. Well, God bless you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank
you. Bye-bye. 866-34-TRUTH. Antoinette in Honolulu, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Well, hi, Dr. Brown. I actually met you when you were here in Honolulu. I know you're not going to remember that, but I met you at the event that was at the studio.
Okay, great. So you were, so that, all right. Now, if I saw the picture, I'd remember you, because that was a special intimate gathering with about 13 of our listeners in Honolulu about 6 months after we had gone on the air there. Yeah, and fond memories of that trip. All right, do you have a question or a guess?
Well, I was going to guess only because, you know, you were run down, so I would think something like mono, but I don't think I'm, you know, I don't think I'm right.
Hey, thankfully, Antoinette, you're not right. Actually, you're the third or fourth person today to guess mono, but thankfully you're not right. Now, I did my normal workout with the guys yesterday, and we get pushed. You know, we got a certified physical trainer from Fire that has just said, hey, he wants to work with some of the leaders at Fire and get us in shape, and we push through pain. he makes us all into little boys, like, I can't take this, but gets us through, and it's great. It's healthy. I said to him yesterday, I said, I'm about 60%, but you'll get 100% of my 60%. I just didn't realize what we have been fighting. Okay, you know, I don't have a name here, but let me just, hello, who am I speaking with?
Yes, my name is Ron.
Ron, and where are you calling from, Ron?
Newport Richey, Florida.
All right, what's your guess?
I was thinking malaria.
All right, another educated guess, the second person of the day to guess malaria. However, it's not malaria. Thank God it's not malaria. That would be even tougher to be getting through and broadcasting with. So no malaria. Okay, let me go to some e-questions. This is from, well, the e-name is Euthymios, so don't know the actual first name. Friedrich Delitzsch, 1850-1922, claims in his book, Babel and Bible, which was originally in German, Babel und Bibel, that the root word of Yahweh is found in ancient Sumerian cuneiform tablets dated to the time of Hammurabi, long before the time of Moses. How would you reply to this? Well, you notice from the dates there that the Delitzsch has been dead almost 100 years. So this is nothing new. But let me give you a little history, fascinating history. Friedrich Delitzsch was a very strong anti-Semite. And some of his writings where he blasts the Old Testament so dramatically are part of his anti-Semitism. What makes this ironic is that his father, Franz Delitzsch, was not just a celebrated Old Testament scholar, but a man with a tremendous heart for Israel, a man who spent a good part of his life perfecting his translation of the New Testament into Hebrew. And it's still widely used today, the Delitzsch translation. In fact, a beautiful edition was just put out of the Delitzsch Hebrew with an accompanying English translation. So this is his translation of the Greek New Testament. And he is one of the two scholars. There was Carl Friedrich Keil and Franz Delitzsch, the authors of the famous Keil and Delitzsch Old Testament commentaries. And these are available to this day. They're dated in certain ways, but fabulous in other ways. And Delitzsch wrote phenomenal commentaries on Job and Psalms and Isaiah. His Isaiah commentary is one of my favorites. It's so striking that his son Friedrich ends up being an anti-Semite and with a serious attack on the Old Testament. And Franz was also involved in an institute that engaged in Jewish outreach in the 1800s. Basically, what happened was there was a new field called Assyriology. As cuneiform tablets, these are the wedge-shaped inscriptions, kind of looks like chicken feet. These wedge-shaped inscriptions in what's called cuneiform, which was a language ultimately called Akkadian, the language of the Assyrians and the Babylonians called Akkadian. And they used the pictograph, it's not an alphabet, syllabary of the Sumerians, and they developed it into their own script and then used it. The Assyrians and the Babylonians used it. This became a new field as they began to decipher and discover some of these inscriptions. And what happened was that initially they found them in Assyrian inscriptions, so they called it Assyriology. Now they refer to the language as Akkadian, the language of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, one of the languages I enjoyed studying at NYU as I got my master's and PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures. what happened was is they began to learn certain things and find certain parallels. Some of the radical critical scholars like Friedrich Delitzsch thought there's nothing good or new in the Old Testament. I don't know, all the myths and legends, it's just stuff borrowed from the Babylonians and borrowed from the Assyrians and borrowed from those that were before them, the Sumerians. And the fact is, with the scholarship as it's gone on, we have learned a lot from the ancient Near Eastern background. But the more that we have learned, the more the scriptures stand out, the more that we see how different this literature is than the literature of the day, especially in its ultimate clear pronunciation of one true God only. As to the idea that the name Yahweh goes back to Sumerian or Akkadian, forget about it. Forget about it. You'll not find that as a major theory among serious scholars today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. My joy to be with you, 866-34-TRUTH. Doing an unusual Q&A today where I've got a question for you. I got sick in India. Don't know if I got sick before India or picked it up in India. Came back home, still fighting sickness. I just didn't feel right. Got some blood tests on Saturday. I finally got the results of them this morning. And I was diagnosed with something very unusual. You can't catch it by radio, so don't want to be listening. No, you can't even catch it in person. But it's a little unusual. And if you can guess what I was diagnosed with, we're sending you a free gift package worth $45. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take a few more guesses, and then we'll get back to your questions. Michelle in Ogden, Utah, what's your guess?
Oh, me?
Yeah, or Mitchell, I'm sorry. Oh. Mitchell, forgive me.
Yeah, I was like, Michelle. All right. Anyways, I think you have a form of strep.
All right, that's a good guess, and thank God I don't. With each new guess, thank God. Strep can be really painful, and I have had some throat cough issues. But so, hey. Again, I don't harass me, Joe. I got the name wrong. I got the name wrong, and I apologize to Mitchell. My apologies again to Mitchell, who's not Michelle. Yes, gender distinction does matter. And for those struggling with your gender identity, we pray for you that the grace and love of God will bring wholeness to your life. But Mitchell is not struggling with his gender identity. My apologies. All right, Joey, I harass you. You have every right to get on me. But it's coming back your way, son. Just remember. All right, a few more guesses. Richard in St. Petersburg, Florida. What's your guess?
Oh, I think you were saying that you had to run to the restroom when you were preaching the other day.
No, that wasn't. No, I didn't.
That was a different time, huh? Well, okay, Staphylococcus.
All right, good guess, but thank God it's not Staphylococcus. Thank God it's not that. All right. Elena in Franklin Square. What's your guess?
Hi. I would say you have a parasite.
Well, you know, if I have a parasite, I don't know about it, but that's kind of general, though. Kind of general, but doesn't nail it. So thank you. Thank you for that. Let's go to Ann in Charlotte. Go ahead, Ann. We lost Ann. Check this out. Ann had the right answer, but we lost her. What do you know? Ann, you're about to get a free gift package. And we lost you, and you had the right answer. Maybe she was just letting the suspense build. Robert writes, I have an honest question for you, Dr. Brown. It's very important to me. Would it be acceptable in God's sight for me to go to church as a spy? Let me explain. I don't believe in every doctrine that the church teaches, but I love the church family dearly. As I go to church, keeping certain disagreements to myself might be the wise thing to do in order to keep the unity of the body. You're different from me, sir, because you are mature in the Lord. Keeping silence, therefore, might be wise for someone like me. But I do believe in sharing the truth because we love the truth, and I believe that speaking the truth is the loving thing to do. I also believe in sharing the truth in love. I have many disagreements with the church, but I will keep it to myself in order to keep the peace between myself and others. There are a few people in the church, however, who I've spoken to privately about these issues. I'd love to hear from you. I feel like a spy because I would be keeping something secret as I go to church. No, no, you don't want to go as a spy, Robert. So thank you for asking. If this is not the place where you feel that you can trust the leaders to feed you and nurture you in the Lord and give your amen, and where you can throw yourself in to serve with a whole heart, then you really need to find another place to go. It is not fair to the leaders, and it's not fair to yourself. Now, it's fine if you sit down with the leaders and share your differences. And they say, well, those are very minor. Those are not essential. You're very welcome here. If you agree with A, B, C, we don't really care if you don't agree with X, Y, Z. If you can affirm A, B, C, then you're welcome here, and you can throw yourself in and be at home. But just don't be divisive about X, Y, Z. Because you talk to a few people, those few people talk to other people. Next thing, you have division in the body. You have confusion, and you've got people talking, pastors preaching, like, oh, I heard that's funny. That's not right, doctor. No, something's wrong there. And you certainly don't want to do that. I can tell by the tone of your email you don't want to do that. If the leaders say in order to be here, you need to hold to all of what we hold to, otherwise there are other churches, then honor that. So think through what they're teaching and preaching. If you really differ with it, meet with them, present your differences. If they say this is very minor, don't be troubled by it. If you agree with the other things, you're welcome here, then wonderful. Be a support to them. Be a support to them and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and serve there wherever you can. If you can't embrace the things they ask you to embrace, if you're struggling, then you need to be somewhere else. And surely you'll be able to find the fellowship somewhere, whether it's a home church or mega church or denominational, non-denominational. You should be able to find something where you can throw yourself in. All right, we've got Ann back on the line. Thought we lost you there. What's your guess, Ann?
It was the West Nile virus that's been in the news lately, so I thought maybe we have so many mosquitoes around here, I'm wary of it myself.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? That's what I got diagnosed with, West Nile virus.
Wow.
when I went to the doctor Saturday,
good.
It was just one of these walk-in clinics. I said to Nancy, I just want to get checked out. Something just doesn't feel right because I like a fever, sweat, and then the fever would break, and I'd feel great. 2 hours later, it would be back, and something just wasn't right. I felt it kind of all over my body.
Yeah.
And, you know, I travel enough to know something wasn't right. So the doctor's like, well, you know, there's odd things. India, because I said India, she starts wondering, you know, maybe you got West Nile. So we're laughing. About, yeah, right, I got West Nile. Maybe you got this, maybe you got that. And then she said, well, we'll do blood tests for all this, and we'll see. And because it was Saturday, the blood test didn't go out till Monday. And then they called me last night. I didn't get to talk to them till today. So the deal is it's supposed to have like a 30-day lifespan, and it can't be treated. But all the real bad symptoms I haven't had, thankfully. I'm getting stronger by the day. I was even able to persevere through and work out and obviously keep schedule with radio. I feel better today than yesterday. But the good news is, with your guess, you'll get the free gift package. So, Ann, and everybody else, like, I didn't get the gift. Well, pray for me. How's that? Pray for me. So, Andrew is going to get your information, Ann. And if you're holding with a guess, sorry, we have a winner. But please do pray. Again, this is not contagious. Can I get this from listening to the broadcast? No. Even the folks in the office, I was telling them nothing to worry about. Unless you get bit by the same mosquito, well, not the same mosquito, but a mosquito carrying it, or unless there's like, you know, transaction of blood or something like that, it ain't going to happen. And we're trusting for health, strength, and for this to get out of my system within 30 days. 866-34-TRUTH. I will be back with your phone calls on the other side of the break and some fascinating e-questions. Oh, David said, I read your excellent article, Ted Haggard, Larry Brink, and Glaring Media Bias. I've yet to hear that he's been formally charged. Is this entire issue going to be swept under the rug? I seriously doubt it. David, I doubt it would be swept under the rug. These are crimes that everyone, heterosexual and homosexual alike, is appalled with. And unless he's not guilty, I don't think anything's going to be swept under the rug. All right, we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Okay, some of you really appreciate, as I come your way live from these exotic places like India, and broadcasting in the middle of the night after a day and night of ministry, and say you appreciate the dedication to the broadcast. Well, it was more dedication than any of us knew. I'll tell you about that in a minute. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Friday, which means you've got questions. We've got answers as we come your way here on this Friday on The Line of Fire. You have less than 11 and a half hours to download the free ebook, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. We've given away over 2,900 now, 2,914 at last count. But if you don't download it now, the price goes back to $5.99. It's a great deal for the book anyway. But 70 of my best articles on moral cultural issues. Remember, you don't need to have a Kindle reader for these. These are ebooks. Within seconds, you can be reading any of these 70 articles. They're all impactful, informative, edifying, some of them really life-changing, challenging, keep you on the front lines of what's happening in our world from a kingdom perspective. So why are you selling it? It's for free. Well, I'm telling you why you should even take the time to download it. And if you're busy, don't worry. You have it downloaded. 6 months later, pick it up and read it. But you get it for free now, all right? So you got to go to Amazon.com. You say, I don't have a Kindle reader. Don't worry about it. When you go to order, right under the where you click to buy on Amazon.com, you'll see something that says Kindle free reading apps, all right? Kindle free reading apps, and you can read on your PC, your Mac, your iPad, your tablet, your smartphone. Think of carrying my book in your smartphone for free. And then here's a cool thing. When you're reading the actual article, you click on the title to that article, then the article itself, it'll take you, if you're connected wirelessly, it'll take you right to that website. And then you can actually look at the comments or weigh in on the comments, so it is as live and interactive as possible. But the special promotion with Amazon ends midnight Pacific Standard Time. All of our friends listening on K-Praise in San Diego, you still have time. All right, and then please spread the word to your friends. So go to Amazon.com, and the name of the book is In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture war. So type in The Line of Fire, 70, you'll get it. And I'll watch as you're downloading because I've got an ongoing report in front of me. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got questions. We've got answers. So here's what I found out. Something just felt different. I've gotten different bugs. Most of us have been sick one way or another over the years. Got different bugs over the years. Something just felt funny this time because I'd take some ibuprofen or something like that. I'd get under the covers. Fever would break. And then next thing, be back a few hours later. Really fatigued. After I finished the broadcast Wednesday night in India last week, I got under the covers and was shivering and it just felt sick. Was very tired all day Thursday. By Friday morning, feeling better. By Saturday, feeling weak again. So I went in Saturday just get checked out. And the doctor kind of surprised me. She was saying, well, wasn't my normal family doctor, just a walk-in clinic on a Saturday. She's like, well, could be this. Maybe you got this flu or West Nile. We'll check. And she was cracking some jokes that were really medically funny, you could say. I was laughing along with her. So we do these blood tests, but it's late in the day Thursday, and she said Saturday. She said, you know, we're not going to get these back till they won't go out till Monday. Then they went out. And then I missed a phone call last night saying, we need to talk to you about your blood test. So I call in today and check this out. I mean, I'm laughing because it's so absurd and crazy. And it's supposed to be in my system for 30 days. You can't treat it. But I'm feeling better, stronger, keeping my normal schedule, even working out and trusting God for complete healing even within 30 days. But I got diagnosed with West Nile virus. You can't catch it by listening on the radio. It's not even contagious face to face. Can you believe that? West Nile virus. Oh, yeah. God's faithful, gracious. I'm enjoying his blessing in the midst of this and trusting for full healing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. So, come on, last week, broadcasting in the middle of the night, live from India, full day of ministry, then broadcasting live from India, not knowing I'm fighting off West Nile virus. Praise God. Worst things could happen. None of the bad symptoms, really bad symptoms, getting stronger and trusting for complete healing within the 30 days that this thing is supposed to stick around. 866-34-TRUTH. Andy. Hello, Dr. Brown. I'm studying Isaiah 9:6 specifically to answer a family member who is a oneness Pentecostal that claims that the phrase everlasting father means that the Messiah is the father. Can you please provide any insight and resources? I looked online by doing a Google search, got a ton of different perspectives, mainly those of Jewish and even Muslim viewpoint, basically trying to discredit the text from even being messianic. Your help on shedding light on these issues would be appreciated. Famous prophecy where the child born, the son given, is called in Hebrew, Pele Yoetz, El Gibor, Aviad, Sar Shalom, which would normally be translated Wonderful Counselor, Pele Yoetz, El Gibor, Mighty God, Aviad, Eternal Father, Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. Is that saying that the Son is the Father, which one this Pentecostals believe? No, certainly not. First, remember, this is a prophecy in its first context, having to do with the birth of the king in the line of David. Could have well been a prophecy when Hezekiah was born, but one that was not fulfilled through him, one that was only fulfilled through Jesus the Messiah. The unfulfilled prophecies and promises to the line of David are fulfilled through Jesus Messiah, the Son of David. So that's the first thing. This was originally a prophetic word spoken about a child born at that time, again, not fulfilled in that child. Now, the important thing is to understand that the king was looked at as the father of the nation. If you remember when Elisha the prophet was dying, he was called the father of the people, father of the nation in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, by the king. And if you remember when Pharaoh lifted up Joseph in Genesis, he was made a father to the people, to the nation, to Pharaoh in certain ways. So Aviad is better translated as father forever. Now, some would argue it means possessor of eternity, because father of in Hebrew can be founder of something like that, originator of. But I would rather translate it father forever, meaning that the king, the messianic king, is the father of the people. That's all. It does not, and the fact that he is the son and that he is given means that he is not the eternal father. And throughout the Bible, we have a clear distinction between the father and the son. Clear distinction. That's made. I agree there's only one God, absolutely. And I agree that there are distinctions between Father and Son. Hence the Son, Jesus, in his humanity, is the mediator between God and man. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen, what gives someone the authority to conduct a baptism? Is it possible to baptize oneself? Thanks and God bless you. No, you can't baptize yourself. This is something that is done to you. Now, in Jewish immersion, there is someone there at the water baptism pronouncing the words or calling you to repentance or whatever the case would be, and you would dunk yourself. You would immerse yourself in the water. That's the way it would be done in traditional Jewish terms. Christians are used to someone pushing you under the water and then pulling you back up. But it is something that is done to you. Something that is done to you as opposed to something that you do to yourself, and it is part of a public witness. Now, there are many churches that have only ordained officials who can perform baptism. And if you're part of a Catholic church, if you're part of other denominational churches, you probably have certain people who can perform and others who cannot. Many other churches would say this is simply something done by believers, that other believers can baptize someone in Jesus' name. What I always recommend, it is people who are strong in the Lord and mature and connected to a body, so that as you are baptized in Jesus, you are also connected with other brothers and sisters who can then be there to help disciple. But the question of who's authorized, the scripture does not explicitly address that, and that's really a further question of church government. However, you cannot baptize yourself. 866-34-TRUTH. And part of it is public profession. If you're the only one there, there's no public profession. All right? Another reason, and a primary reason, why you can't baptize yourself. Mary in New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. Y'all shut the radio down? I have a question on day six of creation.
Yeah.
I know the Bible says those that worship God worship him in spirit because God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
On day six, I mean, there's a hesitation there after he creates, because he says there was not a man to till, you know, the garden. Then he creates Adam and Eve. I'm wondering if in that day six creation, could that be he created the spirit of Adam and Eve?
Oh, no, no. It's certainly speaking of the physical creation that takes place. And all that happens now in the second chapter is you kind of have a telescopic viewpoint that you've been at a distance looking at the whole, and now you zero in on exactly what's happening. Everything gets closer. And now you get the details of what actually happened on the sixth day. So in point of fact, what makes Adam Adam, what makes Adam a human being, is that breath, the breath of life is breathed into him. So the body is formed, and then the breath of life is breathed into him. And at that point, he becomes a living human being. And because this is on the earth, He's a physical creation. So it does not speak only of the creation of a human spirit, but of the full human being at that time. Thank you for the questions. Certainly worth asking. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, we constantly get questions about divorce and remarriage, and I really want to strongly urge all of those who struggle with this to resolve these issues between... between you and God. In other words, there's only so much that a human being can say to you. Ultimately, you have to be sure before the Lord about what you're doing. You have to examine the scriptures. You have to pray things through and be sure. Anthony is asking about a woman whose husband committed adultery, left her. She was divorced 7 years ago. And then after that, got saved, and he wants to know if he marries her, is he marrying an adulteress or causing her to commit adultery? No, certainly not, as I understand Scripture. Number one, both according to Matthew 5 and Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7, the man committing adultery and then abandoning the wife, she's free to remarry. That's the first thing. The second thing, these things happened before she was even saved. Now, I understand if you commit a murder before you're saved and then you get saved, you have to confess that. You may have to go to jail for it, all right? I fully understand that. If you stole money before you were saved and now you get saved, you got $100,000 belongs to someone else, you're going to have to deal with that. But I also believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses us and gives us a fresh start. And in a case like this, of course, I would have no hesitation to say that her past is under the blood, and even the nature of the divorce would be one of the exceptions that Jesus and Paul would grant. I would just encourage you to come to conviction about that so that you're not tormented over that in years to come. Just to feel sure in your heart before the Lord, don't let Satan falsely accuse you, but just be sure of that before the Lord so it's not just me telling you, so that if you do get married 5 years from now, you don't have to keep asking, is this okay, is this okay? So work through that, and based on my understanding of Scripture and your description of the situation, I would see absolutely no problem with this marriage taking place. I know some of you differ with me, but I was asked, and in the fear of the Lord, that is the answer I am giving. Jay writes, I have had a question about what Yahshua was telling the Pharisees about the only unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. First thing, Jay, I know you weren't trying to create controversy, but there's no such person as Yahshua. No one had that name. It's not a Hebrew name. It's not an Aramaic name. Yeshua Y-E-S-H-U-A, Yeshua. Yahshua, oh no, but Yahweh's in the name. Trust me, this is my field. No such name, we know for sure. Yeshua, not Yahshua. Now, Joshua, Yehoshua, that would have been the full name, Yeshua, the short name. No such person as Yahshua. The question, though, is it possible to commit this unforgivable sin today? As I understand it from the context of Mark 3, the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Spirit, is knowingly attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. Knowingly attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. As I see the context in Mark 3, that is blasphemy of the Spirit. This remains possible for someone today, but it's a line that I've seen very few, if any, cross, and God continues to reach out to human beings to bring them to Himself. As long as the door is open, there's hope.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right, remember, the clock's ticking, less than 11 hours to get your free download of In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. Downloaded for free as an FRE, not a loaner, yours to keep. Downloaded for free on Amazon.com. All right? And if you don't have a Kindle reader, then there's a free app. It's right there on that same page. You can order the book where you can download a free app for your smartphone, for your iPad, for your tablet, for your PC, or for your Mac. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see where we want to go here. Finish that. It's a question from Fanny, I think is the first name. I had some people ask me about 12-step programs. I've personally not looked into too much into it, but from what I've observed with individuals who have participated in these is that they become dependent on the programs and they become dependent on the people who attend them. It also seems to become a gossip fest, especially that the program that I've seen has people who don't even have a drug dependency issue. Okay. Yes, Fanny says, my take is that Jesus can free folks, be it in their emotions, mind, physically. People need more of Jesus. Spend time on their knees until it hurts. Fully surrender to Him. They need His word. The reason I'm writing for you is hopefully to hear your take on it. Can you share your view on 12-step programs? Okay, there are so many 12-step programs out there that as I answer this question, some will be saying amen, and some will say, but you don't know my own program. First, I want to affirm that if we shut ourselves in with God, like you say, pray till your knees hurt, and cry out to Him, He will come through. He will answer. He will deliver. He'll bring the breakthrough for us. He'll bring us to a place of wholeness. And if He's able, He also uses the body. And there are people who are gifted. There are people who are gifted who can minister healing, can get to the root of issues, and can help deal with those things. So many times our wholeness comes through the body, through relationships. I know key times in my life, other people in the body have really been used to minister to me, and times I've been blessed to be there to minister for others, to others. So yes, first and foremost, our relationship with God, looking to Him, leaning on Him, trusting in Him, breaking through, living out what the scriptures tell us to live out, changing our lifestyle, our mindset. But then often there's help that comes in relationships. Now, there are some 12-step programs that are completely secular, or that are just generic spiritual, you have to connect with a higher power, and that are nothing more than self-help programs, that are nothing more than glorified self-help programs, or just try to improve yourself, or some type of very weak and even deceived spirituality. Others, though, have sought to take what was positive in these and incorporate them in church settings where people get discipled, where people get helped, where people grow. So if it's something where people struggling with a certain issue can find wholeness as they go to the Lord together and open up their hearts together and are encouraged by testimonies of those who are strong and warned by exhortations of those who've fallen back, that's great. If it's just your regular 12-step program without Jesus being in the middle of it, I would have strong questions about its ultimate effectiveness. All right. a longtime listener, don't have his first name, but writing about the consciousness movement. First initial is D, so I'm not sure who I'm speaking with beyond that. But thanks for being a longtime listener, and thank you for the kind words. He mentions, or she mentions, you're the one that introduced me to David Wilkerson and Lennon Ravenhill. You did a show on Where is the Fire, and although I listened to you before then, even more so once I started listening to those pastors on iTunes. Mentions here, I started listening to Deepak Chopra, etc., so I guess, and others, and have wondered if this is a false ideology. When he speaks of goodness, although we are not under law but grace, lest any man boast, I can't help but wondering if this is Christianity in practice. There are many similarities, although I would never denounce the deity of Christ, but neither does he. So I'm trying to get some understanding of the matter, and I feel as if I'm going down a path that is unknown to me because this is very radical for me to entertain another philosophy. I've been fasted and prayed on the matter, probably should. Thank you for confiding in me with that question. I can give you a very simple answer. It's a different ideology. It's a different gospel. And I've seen interviews where Deepak Chopra was on along with John MacArthur, and when John MacArthur quoted scripture, and when John MacArthur made clear who Jesus was and salvation only found through him, or raised issues of human sinfulness, Deepak Chopra actually had a bodily reaction, just like kind of like, shake this off of me. I don't like this stuff. Deepak Chopra, for whatever good point he may make here or there, whatever decent kind of person he may be or want to help people, absolutely does not recognize the sinfulness of human beings. Absolutely does not recognize our fallen, sinful state. Absolutely does not recognize the holiness of the eternal God and the unapproachable gulf between us and God without Jesus. Absolutely does not recognize the need for salvation, as we would say. Absolutely does not recognize who Jesus really is and why he died and why salvation is only found in him. He is a man we should pray for to be saved as much as he wants to enlighten others and as sincere as he may be. Let's say he's not doing anything for money. He's doing it totally out of sincerity. He's all the more lost, and we need to pray for him all the more. And you need to just keep meditating on the scriptures and reading the words of Jesus, and that will clearly separate you from the false ideologies of Deepak Chopra. Okay, I asked forgiveness in the first hour, excuse me, and I'm asking forgiveness the second hour for being double-minded. I made a special offer, one-time offer yesterday, and I said it's for yesterday only. We got such an overwhelming response, I thought, okay, we hit a positive nerve. This was obviously a blessing. So forgive me for being double-minded, but with your permission, I'm extending yesterday's offer. Trust me, it's not happening on Monday, but I'm extending yesterday's offer to get my book, the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. We continue to get rave reviews that just thrill me. I mean, more excited reviews of this book than anything I've done. The Real Kosher Jesus, the hardcover, which is only through us, it's $25 plus postage, so it comes around $30 once you do postage and handling. Get that, and for free with it, this is another resource that with postage would be about $20. The two-hour DVD of the four-part TV series on the Day of Discovery, The Mysteries of Isaiah 53, wonderful in-depth conversations with Professor Michael Riedeling, Professor Darrell Bach, Professor Walter Kaiser, and yours truly. Thrilling eye-opening of the treatment of the text that will bless you. Watch it at your home Bible studies, watch it in your church, and watch it with your unsaved Jewish friends. The two resources together, $30, postage paid. But really, honestly, today's the last day. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Order multiple copies. If you can help with an additional gift, awesome. But everyone, take advantage of this, and trust me, you will be blessed. My bottom line today, it is God's intent that Jesus be exalted to the highest place in the universe. In fact, God has exalted his name above every other name. It is our job now to make him known, to declare that name, and to live lives worthy of the glorious name of Jesus, Yeshua.